Kenosha Sports Extra, Pat Hegewald, along with our good friend. He is a nationally recognized IDP expert. He is one of the driving forces behind DraftSharks.com. You can see all of his stuff on Shark Bites on Kenosha Sports Extra website, which has all of the up-to-the-minute fantasy football news. Our personal fantasy football expert and a man who has single-handedly helped me win multiple champions. Please welcome to the program, Matt Schaff, no relation. Matt, welcome to Kenosha Sports Extra, the podcast.
Hey, it's nice to finally be back. I was wondering if I had to send you cookies to get back on.
No cookies necessary. My wife has actually been on a baking kick lately, so keep the sweets away. I already got enough of the tummy as it is. But yes, you are following up the Great Richmond Web, and we were talking about Dolphins, Texans, Packers, Vegas, NFC East. Let's take a shot at the NFC East. Are your Eagles ever going to win another game, brother?
Yes, I predict they will win another game at some point. I predict it will come as soon as this Thursday night against the Giants.
Jeepers, man, dude, what is the deal? But let's talk in terms of fantasy. So I picked up that wide receiver and didn't, of course, play him. And fortunately enough, I didn't need him, but he scored well again. What's the story? How do you even say his name, dude?
Travis Fulgham. So there are some people that say that he was impressive in camp with the Lions. He had a cup of coffee, not even a cup of coffee. I think he ordered a cup of coffee with the Packers, and then they took it away from him before he finished it. But there are always people that say, oh, I liked this kid on tape coming into the league, but he's a sixth-round pick of the Lions. I think that he just happened to land in the perfect spot because everybody who's capable of catching a football or even just running fast and getting near a pass in Philadelphia is hurt. So opportunity came his way. I watched the Pittsburgh game where he broke out, and it wasn't even like an Eagles plan from opening kickoff to get him the ball. It started in the second quarter, and Carson Wentz was like, oh, Travis Fulgham's open. I'm going to throw it to him. And then it just worked from there, so they kept going. He's in this spot, though, where he could keep catching the ball. So if I've got him right now, then I'm going to keep rolling with him until I have a reason to stop doing so.
And if I got him and I'm going to play him, keeping in that scenario, what about Robert Tonyan? What about Bobby Tonyan from the Packers? I realize the Packers kind of stubbed their toe this last game, and Tonyan had kind of a goofy ankle roll, and then he was back in there, but he really wasn't targeted a lot. But, you know, before that, he kind of had a little George Kittle look to him, and I don't mean to say that he's got that kind of talent, but you know, you could see in the offense that LaFleur runs how you start him in motion and then you run him back to where he came from and he's out in the flats and you're trying to get one-on-one with a backer or a safety and you get him the ball in space and try to let him move a little bit. I mean, you could see what they're trying to do with him. That being said, Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion, has never really been a quarterback that ever really wanted anything to do with a tight end unless he just happened to be the guy that was open down the field. Now, that maybe is changing just a little bit. Your thoughts on Robert Tonyan and his, you know, immensely quick start, and then he got hit the skids a little bit this last week.
Yeah, I mean, I think, so we have to watch him to make sure he's healthy this week when practices get rolling, but I know the things out there about Aaron Rodgers not liking tight ends, but if you look back, he really hasn't had a whole lot to work with that tight end through the years. So I think that Robert Tonyan gets a bump for two reasons, because one, he plays with Aaron Rodgers, so he gets the kind of bump that Russell Wilson wide receivers get, where you don't have to get targeted as much to produce the way that other pass catchers do, because you have this quarterback that is smart and efficient, and he'll get you the ball in good spots. And you're going to have a higher catch rate than most people. I mean, Tanya's caught 16 of 18 passes so far. That's probably not going to continue, but he's going to stay, you know, more efficient than others. The other bump he gets is because tight end is awful. I mean, tight end is just, Zach Ertz is no good at football anymore, apparently. That's how bad tight end is this year. He was supposed to be one of the four locks at this position. The Giants don't know how to use Evan Engram anymore. There's just, at tight end, there are three guys that you can count on. And then Mark Andrews even let us down this past week. So just because of all that, I think a healthy Robert Tonyan you go ahead and bet on, as long as the matchup's fine. Doesn't mean he's going to deliver every week, but I mean, if Mark Andrews isn't going to deliver for us every week, then who is going to?
Talking to Matt Schuff, no relation, DraftSharks.com. Check his stuff out. Always great, great, great stuff. And talking about football in general and certainly fantasy, we're nearing that halfway point, and I think the haves and the have-nots are kind of making themselves known. Talk to me about surprises. Talk to me about, wow, I really didn't see that coming. And maybe not so much the obvious ones, but some of the unobvious ones. Who kind of made you sit up and take notice?
I mean, I think James Robinson is probably the obvious one at running back. I'm not going to pretend that I saw him coming, and nobody seems to have. But he's made some impact, and it would be nice if he could rebound after a lull the past couple of weeks when I tried using him in like DraftKings and FanDuel-type lineups. But, you know, we'll see where things go from there. I think that the recent emergence of young receivers, Chase Claypool, Travis Fulgham, you know, we talked about Fulgham, but Claypool in Pittsburgh, the opportunity facing him there all of a sudden is surprising because it looked like this loaded situation, and Pittsburgh's been an offense that doesn't tend to let young guys get opportunities right away. You tend to have to wait for them. I think the flip side of that surprise is that Juju Smith-Schuster is apparently showing us that either he's not completely healthy and for the second year in a row some physical ailment is dragging him down while he's playing, or he just wasn't as good as we thought he was over his first couple of years, and he benefited from playing alongside Antonio Brown. So either way, there's opportunity facing Chase Claypool there. I think the two young guys are surprising. I've been surprised at Stephon Diggs doing what he's doing in Buffalo, and it's not that I wondered about him as a player. I certainly knew he was a terrific player. The surprising thing to me is Buffalo changing its offense so much to the point where it's gone from one of the most run-heavy in the league to one of the most pass-heavy. I'm not surprised that they made Stephon Diggs their top receiver right away, but I'm surprised that they would flip it so much and become a pass-heavy offense. You know, Seattle, too. It surprises me when a team with veteran coaches makes that kind of a drastic change, even if it's a smart change. You know, lots of times we watch football and we're like, why isn't the team doing this? And they just keep not doing it. And in these two cases, Buffalo, Seattle, they went the way that we all wanted them to, started going to the talented players, and it's really paying off fantasy value-wise.
Yeah, I was watching Buffalo a couple weeks ago. Good friend of mine, we talk about his fantasy team, and I knew he was kind of in a dogfight. And, man, Stephon Diggs is just Allen's security blanket. I mean, if it gets past one Mississippi, he's trying to find Diggs somewhere.
Absolutely. And, I mean, you know, as he should be doing, if you watch him, catches, the connections they make, you're like, wow, there aren't too many guys who can make that throw. And it's like, wow, there aren't too many guys that can make that catch. It's nice to see the team exploiting that area that they should be exploiting.
Talking to Matt Schuff, DraftSharks.com. We went back and forth with Richmond Webb just a little bit ago. And can you believe we've been at this stuff for like 12 years now, dude?
It's pretty crazy. And I think back sometimes, I've been doing the fantasy thing for 18 or so, I think now.
Yeah, the old days, we'd have Richmond Webb on, then we'd have you on, me and Big Daddy would be unloading liquor trucks with a stocking cap on, with a cell phone stuffed up in his stocking cap so he could keep lumping liquor cases and do the fantasy lunch on Blog Talk Radio as I'm sitting in the office doing it on the phone, and you're at your place doing it on the phone, and that English lady saying Blog Talk Radio, and you know, working with the great Jeff Thomas and the fantasy sports industry. But yeah, it's been like 12 years now in three different mediums: Blog Talk Radio, the Fantasy Lunch, then Kenosha Sports Extra, the AM version, and now Kenosha Sports Extra, the podcast version. And you know what? Somehow, some way, I seem to have become an exponentially better fantasy football player since I've met you.
Oh, thanks. I like how that's worked out. I'm glad that I could be along for that ride, at least.
And you know what? It's kind of funny because in the early part of the year, you know, I got a big set swinging, and I'm getting my ducks in a row, and I'm feeling good, first, second, third in the division, whatever the case may be. And then comes around week 10 or 11, and pretty soon it's like, hey, Matt, who would you play in this scenario? Do you ever get tired of people getting in your inbox saying A or B?
No, honestly, that's my favorite part of it, is when it's like, who do you play between these two guys? And I get to dig in and give a reason. And I mean, it's kind of like my favorite part and my least favorite part, because even if the reasoning's good, it doesn't always work out. Like, you know, somebody has just catch two of his 10 targets and the other guy will catch all four of his and score a touchdown. And then you feel crappy for telling the person the wrong player. But, you know, I think that people who have played it and are reasonable realize that if you make the wrong call for the right reasons, that ultimately it's going to end up working out. And I know that there are people that I talk to, you know, week in, week out about this stuff, and they understand. They keep coming back. I'll have this wrong call where I steer them away from the player who would have given them more points, and they come back next week, and I'm like, yeah, I wonder why they're coming back to me after I steered them wrong last week. But, you know, I think it's all about ultimately doing it the right way and knowing that along the way you're going to – luck's not always going to go in your direction.
Talking to Matt Schaaf, going to cut him loose after this, but one last go-round. Obviously, waiver wires get thinner and thinner and thinner, and, you know, now you got Tua where, you know, a lot of one-quarterback leagues. Tua obviously wasn't on anybody's radar, and now maybe is he on somebody's radar, but talk about what you see in terms of who people might want to go target or grab, or, you know, maybe some buy low candidates that you could find, or some sell high candidates. Just your overall here at almost at the halfway pole.
Yeah, I'll give you a couple of those guys, because we actually are doing our third buy sell hold report of the year on DraftSharks.com this week. So I like Derek Carr coming out of the bye. I don't like him this week against the Bucs. I don't think he's a starter this week, but I think he's a guy to stash, because the schedule looks good the rest of the way. And I think he's probably been better than most people realize. And that was the case before the Kansas City game. And then the Kansas City game really shined a spotlight on it. And he's still not owned as highly as he should be at this point. I think Tyler Lockett is a buy right now, because DK Metcalf has been getting the attention over the past few weeks. And maybe DK Metcalf's going to be the top scoring Seattle wide receiver going forward. But they're not going to forget about Tyler Lockett, and it's not a deep passing game there. So I think there's room for both Metcalf and Lockett to produce. So I would go ahead and try to see if I can get Lockett right now while he hasn't been getting the targets lately. Amari Cooper on the other side of the cell, he has continued getting the targets, and last night he ended up with a good stat line in that ugly game against Arizona. Caught 7 balls, 79 yards, scored a touchdown, saw 10 targets. So if you look at the stats, it's right in line with almost all of the other games from this season. He's just had the one bad outing. But if you watch that game, Dallas was a mess. And even if they get that righted around, it's such a crowded offense, and it's bound to not be quite to the level that it was before, even if they, you know, get it back together and they are productive the rest of the way. There's only so much room, only so many targets. I think Amari Cooper is going to be inconsistent at best going forward. So I'd try to sell on his numbers right now before he has the chance to bug you.
Great stuff as usual, my friend. It's been a great 12-year run, and I don't know, this stuff could easily push us for another decade, and who knows how many more mediums there are to get, but you're already on my website. Shark Bites is on Kenosha Sports Extra, always up to the minute, always good as gold, never needs any kind of prep time. He just knows that much. But Matt Schaaf, I appreciate your professionalism, your friendship, and your advice, and look forward to doing this again soon, my friend.
Always love joining you, buddy. If COVID can't tackle this football stuff, then nothing's going to stop it.
You got it. Have a great night.
Take care.